Daniel Ivin will too.
So I mentioned the disruption which came around on many places actually. It was in the front of cinema, Edison Cinema, where I've been very close to my home, 100 meters away. Then on the other place, you know, it was a demonstration that people was really angry, majority I would say, yes, definitely. And I remember some figure, some speaker, who became the heroes of partisan war and later on, of course. I met them in the war and so. Anyway, it was, that is, you asked me the question, beginning of war. My memory about war began with this demonstration, which took place, it's known in the history, 27th of March. And this changed the whole direction of history in my country, actually. The pact was new fight, of course. New government came over the night. It's an old history, you know. England was very much involved, Churchill personally, with his pushing the ambassadors to go, to knock on the door, to go, to put...
Yes, it's mainly your memory which we're interested in, because, you know, obviously people can get the history.
Exactly. You remind me that I'm jumping out of the line.
I know, as a historian, this is very tempting. It's you as a young boy.
Writing about 27th of March a little bit or so. Anyway, it was, I remember, the next day, it was completely other mood. It was in the whole town of Karlovac, a known, recognized anti-fascist, feeling, how to say, expression and so on. And exactly on those days happened this, what I mentioned before, children talking, oh, German will now be beaten, they will see what we are, and so on and so on. Unfortunately, it didn't happen this way. And I remember the war started, 6th of April with the bombardment of Belgrade.
Are you aware of that?
Yes, it was annoying. It was on the radio, of course, it was terrible and so on. But still, it was more the same. Oh, no. Okay, they bombarded Belgium, but they were beaten. And in a few days' time, German tanks came in the town.
What was your first sight of them?
Well, I came to the Germans, I don't know if deliberately or not deliberately, maybe it was accidentally. They have a chocolate for us children, you know. So we went to them, and I was talking because I know as a Jewish. I spoke a little bit German, not perfect, but a little. My mother was actually better in German than, because she was not from Yugoslavia. So I understand, of course, and I spoke a little bit. And I spoke with the soldiers, and I told them, how you came so far from frontier here? You was not beaten from our... and so they was laughing. I was lucky, maybe, I don't know. It was, anyway, it was a tanks. I don't know, 10, 20 tanks on the very close to my home, which is on a kind of park, let's say, kind of a. It's a special kind of the park around Karlovac, and that is in the middle, and in the circle. And they came here, they parked on this space, these tanks, and was sitting there on the tanks, this, I don't know which day it was. 8 or 9 of April, I don't know really. I had to look in the book, you know, when they actually entered the Karlovac, when they came to the Karlovac. And I was talking with them as a nice person, but who are going to lose the war in a few days' time. And it's a miracle how they succeed to come to, not only I, really, children was even pushing me, asking them this, telling this, you know, so. And we met maybe one or two of these German boys who was not so bad and make jokes with us. So. Anyway, but the beginning of war, beginning, not beginning, but the beginning of occupation started a day or two before Germans came, because already immediately with the beginning of war, the other side, pro-fascist side, which was really minority, Ustasha side, let's say, people who were from the Paris, start to write on the walls Jap, the letters J with its Z with the hyphen, A and P, Jap, meaning Živio Ante Pavelić. It's, you know, the initials, Živio, meaning Živio Heil. German Heil. In English, you don't have for life.
Long live.
Long live, let's say, but it's a one word, Živio, you know, be alive, we celebrate. Ante Pavelić. It was written by people who belong to the Ustasha movement, supporters of Croatian independence and in fascism. And it was written on the walls immediately. From the 6th of April, you know, this J-A-P, Jap, Živio Ante Pavelić. And I was there, I was warned by my friends and by father. I asked what is the meaning in Tepiri on a lot of places. You know, they told, oh, the fascists, you know, don't worry about them. But a few days later, exactly those people came to take my father. They have already signed here U, you know, Ustasha. U on the in civil, but already with this and Hakenkreuz, U, and with the knife, of course. Mm.
That's a swastika with the U.
Because they Ustasha wheel on the cap, you know, this military cap, it was Ustasha, you know, the sign. That was recognizable very much. Mm-hmm. And even before they had with a uniform, it was actually the second day of the state, they already put on their hand immediate. I think that they've been around in 1 or 2 days before Germany came, you know, around. It was anarchy. I remember, yes, 1 day before you. I remember one was taking a pistol towards one of his friends. One young Ustasha with this took a pistol. The Germans wasn't in the town at that time. It was 1 day before, maybe. And when the Germans came, they were around already with these signs, you know, with the rifles, in civil clothes. And they came to fetch my father.
Were you there when he was taken?
I've been somewhere. I don't know. I was playing or in cinema. I don't know. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, and I came for a lunch. And exactly this man told me, you know, the same three of them. In civil, this Ustasha, you know, so on, and they came and paid the father for a few days. Not for a few days. He was in prison. I went next day to see him with my mother, and so, and I saw him for the next two, just a moment, he went on 27th of April, he was sent to Zagreb, escorted to Zagreb. So for next, let's say, two weeks, I visited him, I don't know, 3 or 4 times in the prison.
You remember the last time you saw him?
Yes, in Zagreb later on in May, because he came in Zagreb. He was escorted to Zagreb on 27th of April, and about a week later, maybe beginning of May, I came on a visiting him, it was much stronger, it was only once in the 10 days. And next time I didn't go, maybe my brother went, his mother, I think, or something like this, and that was the last time. I saw him last time, beginning of May, in Zagreb in prison. And peculiar, when I been in 60s in the Institute of History working, I accidentally in the archives find a photo of my father made in prison with a number. And this is here. It's here. You see my father with his, you know, as a criminal, as a, they have a number. It's the last, his photo. And he, we know later on, we have information, he went to the concentration camp Koprivnica. I think my mother was once there, you know? She was happy to see him there. And from there, he was taken to the Lika. It was on the in the mountains, you know, deep, what you are in English calling a cave or something like this, and there was about between 3,000 and 4,000 people killed there, Jews, Serbs, communists, and so on.
And could you?
It was in July.
Yes. Could you tell me the name of that place again?
Jadovno. It was the first before Jasenovac. It was. First one, and finished in August, because Italians occupied this part of territory, so the Ustasha escaped, and it was finished with this concept. They started to actually, they started with this concentration camp, let's say, the concentration camp, it's just place of killing. They took them there, and they killed the liquidators immediately. They started end of May, beginning of June, and they finished beginning of August. It's finished. You know, Italians took over the territory, and then they went to build up Jasenovac, known camp, known concentration camp through whole 4 years of them.
Could you spell that place where your father was killed for me?
Jadovno, J A D. O V N O. You will say maybe Jadovno, yes?
Were you told that your father was being killed? Was your family?
I remember, I have a story, you know. I was, went to my grandfather's and so on, my mother was in prison as well, and then I, because he was a known. So, person, and they imprisoned when my father went to end of April to Zagreb, then he stayed in Zagreb. Middle of May, I think he went to Koprivnica. I think here is the date when my mother was imprisoned. It was end of May or beginning of June. I think they put my mother in jail and none.
And what happened to you then?
That is the story. And I just recently gave the report to the Yad Vashem because they are going to make some persons righteous among the people. And to me, that is the story. Very, very peculiar story. An owner of a little shop, Christian, Tronto, Paolo Tronto.
Tronto?
Tronto. T-R-O-N-T-L.
That's a Mrs. Tronto, would it be a Mrs.?
No, Mr.
Mr. Tronto.
Mr. He was violent. And his son was my colleague in school. He's still alive, the son. And never friends with them. Never friends. No connection. Yes, I was with my, he was my colleague in the class, he was playing and so on. But Mr. Tronto, And my father and my mother, they was just on the street, maybe, hello, you know, small town, nothing else. And suddenly, when my mother and I was imprisoned, next morning, brother and I remained alone, and somebody's bellowing, you know, somebody's knocking from the door. We opened the door, it's the Toronto. And she said, take your belongings, go to play with my son a little bit. He took me to his home, and I remained there 2 months. He was never talking a lot, you know. I have to finish this story complete because we are not too limited. And my grandfather came from Bosnia to fetch me. So I was saved by Mr. Tronti, who was a devoted Christian, not politically, completely never Christian, politically, but very much Christian. And at the end of the war, when my mother and I came to Karlovac, we met before Karlovac and came together the first day when they liberated Karlovac, we went to the town and she went first, not to our flat, to Mr. Tronti, and she stood and she started to cry, and he was crying, nothing can happen, just hello, 2 minutes. You can't say nothing, you know. I give this report to if they recognize him, Yad Vashem, to announce him, to give him this title of, you know, righteousness from all the people, I don't know. Maybe that's what he wrote. That is the how I was saved in the first step. And my brother escaped to the village of our nanny, to brother. It was a Croat village. He, in the night, he escaped there. He was already 13 and a half. Very grown up, very, how to say, secure, you know. And he went there. So he was saved in this way. And my grandfather was became to be during the life. He was a poor guy when he came from Hungary. And married a quite known family girl, but he became to be rich in his business, a glass business, you know, making glass and glass for windows and so on, in Bosnia, in the town of Tuzla. And as a rich man, he was donating money, especially to the Christian convict to make a school for children. And he was pronounced in the town of Tuzla, which was then a little bit bigger than the Karlovac, about 30,000, I think so. I'm not sure. A little bit bigger than Karlovac. Very known town in Bosnia. Now we say maybe 200,000 people with university. He was proclaimed honorary citizen.
And would this be Mr. Goldstein?
Yes, old Goldstein, not father, Aaron Goldstein. Aaron Goldstein, my grandfather, who came from Hungary as a young boy to work, because he was from the poor family and he married a non-family girl, my grandfather, you know, my grandmother, Adolfa Reich. She was Adolfa Reich, and grandfather was Aaron Goldstein.
Aaron.
A-A-R-O-N. Aaron Goldstein, and they went. First of all, they lived for a few years in a village nearby Karlovac. They went to Tuzla and he became to be relatively rich, not of course, but for the situation in Bosnia, so quite a well off man with this business, and he gave money in these charities and so on, and so he was a very, very appreciated person in Tuzla, and as such, he came in Karlovac as a secure, you know, with me, no, child will survive, nobody is going to touch us. But it's quite a story. I went with him, of course, and I start to resume my schooling in Catholic Cluster School, which he was giving money, you know, exactly. I remember that the nuns was special, always to me as a special person. Something like that.
And this was in Tuzla?
In Tuzla, summer, I don't know, August, September, something like this, of 41. Ustasha was around and everything, but nobody was touching my grandfather. It was a huge house and so on. But, of course, it was a naivety. Sometimes in autumn, I don't know, it was already cold, they came and threw out from the house, family, our grandfather and grandmother, and an aunt, the youngest sister of my father, not married, still not married, and they got a flat. They moved them in a flat in the town, you know. It was a flat, three rooms flat, okay, but it was out of from the house, because house was a separate, they took it for some I don't know, offices or something. And I was not anymore sure. That is the first time in my life when I start to have my own opinion, which was in confrontation with my family, you know, with my grandfather. My grandfather was still sure. Oh no, okay, they need the offices. They will not touch me and so on. Don't worry. And I start to worry. As a child, I remember this. On the other side, my mother was released from the prison by our friends paid some Ustasha, a lot of money, and so she was somehow put on the released. I start to sometimes I'm good, sometimes I'm bad. And she immediately escaped to the Italian occupation zone, which was not danger for the Jews, down to coast, you know, Primorje. And she went to town, a little town known Kraljevo, not far away from Rijeka, down, under Italian occupation. And she and my brother came immediately after, because it was not far away, maybe 150 kilometers from Karlovac, you know, down, it is Croatia and so on. After a week or two, he came, our nanny came, she was released, but confined in the village, but she came to the mother and she went back and so on, and the brother came. So. But she started to worry about me in Tuzla, far away, about 400 kilometers in Bosnia. And she finds that is the second one of about whom I gave report for to Yad Vashem, a young. His name was, it's still alive, he's still alive, old man, Pribilović, Josip Pribilović. He was 70 or 18, and he was in Kraljevica. It was, you know, Ustasha youth organization, and he belonged to them. And he even wear twice a uniform. But this Ustasha in Kraljevica, under the Italian occupation, was not couldn't make anything, but by the nature was other kind of Ustasha, anyway. And his father was very angry that he is there, because his father was very, very appreciative, very honest. And so. Anyway, he was good, he went, he ended up in partisan units and the officers. But my he approached actually my mother and said to her, because it was a small town and talking, you know, where my child is there, my mother is there, my brother is there. He went for certain young girl to Zagreb for some other family to fetch her and bring her. he approached my mother and said, look, Mrs. Goldstein, if you like to have really your younger son, I can try to go to Tuzla to fetch him. She immediately agreed, and he went. It was a 3-4 day journey because it was 3 occupation zones. It was really dangerous. And he came, with a letter, and my grandfather didn't want to give me, and he took the pissed off it, you know, and said, I have to come back with boy. And I was on his side. And so I went. And that's it. A month later, my grandfather and grandmother was taken to the Yasepas, already exist. It was a beginning of January 42. It was a few days before Ulysses, I think. A few days, I think it was end of December, something like that, between Christmas and New Year's Eve, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we have dates, I can find for you, but it's not important. Maybe 2 or 3 months later, beginning of second 42, they disappeared. They've been taken to the concentration, Jasenovac concentration camp, and disappeared.
And where were you taken to by this man?
Kravitsa, to my mother.
Who was back?
It was dramatic, you know. For 4 days we was hiding, then in Zagreb in train came Ustasha from Karlovac, and I notified this one, no me, and so on. He take me immediately to the room, he jumped from the train. It's a story, it's a dramatic story. Anyway, he was excellent, he was caring about me, and so he brought me safe to my mother.
You were reunited with your mother and
father? And And immediately she was already in the connection with partisans. They've been from Kraljevica, so airline maybe 10 kilometers in woods, been already, you know, partisan units. And because I was child, I'm just writing now this little piece, how I went first time illegally, let's say, to the partisans, taking their messages and little things, because I should make a journey about 4 kilometers from Kraljevica to Little Village, in which in some certain house from the woods came certain partisan, you know, in the same clothes and so on, and I came and bring there, I was not 10, because I was a child, and nobody was suspicious, you know, because the Italians, patros, carabinieri was going, you know, and if grown up are going to this village, it's legitimation, what you are, where is your documents, and so on, and child, I wasn't suspicious. So I start to be some kind clandestine connection for the partisan units before I came to the woods.
So really you were like a little courier, were you?
Yes, and that was later on I was a courier. Now came the most important things. I was not, of course, deciding by myself that I'm going to, I was shy. My mother tried to leave me when she decided, she was, I have to start with this. It started, I think, in February or March.
42
in Kraljevica, Italian occupation military start to build up barracks. A few days was wondering for what these barracks, and it came information, we got it with Natalia, not my mother, and grown-ups, information is going to be for Jews. Not a danger, but to put them under control. And my mother, being, you know, connected with the movement and everything, detected danger, and sent a message, you know, to partisans, it's going to be this and this and so on, and they said, oh, yes. No, even before that, I think it came from partisans, to her that it's this barrack is going to be, and she should come, because they will be prisoners somewhere, she should come to join in the woods the units. And she decides, of course, brother was already 14, more than 14, he is going to her, and she tried, now it's important, she tried to leave me in a family.